Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, now, might this be my story? Heaven, now, here soon I'll be gone. Heaven, now, to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the second Sunday of Easter. And on that note, my friends, I hope that you had a wonderful Easter Sunday and also a beautiful Lenten season. And I just thank God for the beautiful moments that we had within our family, within our friendships this Easter weekend. And it is a blessing to be here on the air with you. And as we prepare for the second Sunday of Easter, my friends, let us take that peace that the Lord has provided through his resurrection and the hope that he gives us. Let's take it and run with it throughout this week, this month, and for the rest of the year, my friends. We put it all into God's hands. And as we prepare once again, let's begin with our checklist as we always do. Number one, my friends, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart full for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions at this moment? Check. And if you've answered yes to those four questions, my friends, then we are ready together to engage in the Word of God. Once again, preparing for the second Sunday of Easter. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And here it is. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and all they were cured. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Acts, my friends, we hear from the apostles themselves and the tremendous history as the church begins to form. We hear from the apostles about the great signs and wonders. Again, many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. What signs and wonders have you seen, my friends, in your life that God has given you to increase your faith? I like to refer to it as a faith increaser, because our faith is either increasing, stagnating, or diminishing. Is your faith growing, my friends? And if it is, what has God done in your life to help you to grow in faith, to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? What has he done to to make you a better father, a better husband, a better mother, a better wife, a better person, a good man, a good woman, a more faithful servant of God's people. What has he done? What signs has he given you? What wonders have you seen in your life that God has provided to touch your family, to help you to get through? What has he done for you, my friends, in your life? What has the Lord done in your life to increase your faith? Has he pulled you through cancer to get to the other side and to beat a severe illness? Has he helped your son or daughter get through addiction to drugs or alcohol? Has he helped you, my friends, to get through the transition of losing a job, being on unemployment, and then finding new work, helping to provide for your children and your grandchildren? What signs and wonders has he done, my friends? And many years ago, as a pilot growing up, in my first year in college, I had a opportunity to actually ride in the right seat of a Learjet. And we were at 43,000 feet on a maintenance flight. And for the first time in my life, I could see the curvature of the earth. I could see well into Ohio. And this was a powerful moment to really see, you know, God's hand. And, you know, he is the creator of heaven and earth. So seeing the curvature of the earth was magnificent for me at 18, 19 years old. It was a special memory for me. Many years later, in flying across the ocean from Gander, Newfoundland, to Shannon, Ireland, and then to Berlin, Germany, I remember flying at night and seeing the stars outside the window above us, to the sides of us, and below the wing as we flew across the ocean, seeing the heavens truly and the stars were so magnificent with the moon out and that sheen across the ocean. God's hand was there, my friends, revealing to me his creation of the stars, the moon, that beautiful ocean at night. And I'll never forget it. Once again, what wonders has he done in your life? Do we recognize them or do we take them for granted? Because we have so much freedom in our nation today. Do we take these things for granted that God has given us that are blessings? And the book of Genesis identifies many of those blessings that God has given us in the formation of the world. And it's powerful. And the word of God goes on to say this: yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, thus they carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. And the Lord did many things when he walked with the apostles. And now here, the apostles were following suit to help heal the sick and to remove those who were disturbed by unclean spirits. And they were all cured. So God gave them the gift of healing, one of the great gifts from the Holy Spirit, to heal the sick. What gifts has God given you, my friends? Because remember, the apostles were only human beings. They were only men. But through faith, they were able to heal people. And the Lord himself said it many times to people that he healed. He said, your faith has healed you. And it's powerful. It's all about a relationship with Christ and our belief in Christ. Again, the word says, yet more than ever, they were believers in the Lord. Thus, they carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. And it brings to mind a great healer up in Montreal, Brother Andre, also known today as Saint Andre Bessette, who was a tremendous healer. And the Lord lifted him up, a simple man who, at the Saint Joseph's Oratory, was given simple duties. But God lifted him up and made him a great healer. And many years ago, he was canonized a saint in October 7, 2010. But he was born on August 9, 1845 and died in 1937. But in his life, the years that he lived, he touched many people as he was a healer. And when you go to St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal, Canada, you see the evidence, the canes and crutches and walkers that were left behind by the hundreds of people who were healed by this one man. Many years ago, we ran a pilgrimage to Montreal and had the privilege of visiting the oratory and going to his home, his room, which is enclosed by glass. But you could see the humility of the saint to be. And we were there before he was canonized. He was known as Blessed Andre at the time, but was canonized afterwards. But I just tell you that, like the apostles, he too was given the great gift of healing as a man because of his belief in Jesus Christ. And that is why it's so important for you and I, my friends, to grow in faith and to continuously grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, because God uses us. He uses our talents, our gifts, whatever they may be. He wastes no one. No human being is wasted. He lifts up the lowly. St. Paul is a great example of that because he was a great persecutor of the church and killed many people, persecuted many Christians. But the Lord turned him around. He changed his heart. He increased his faith. He went from a enemy of Christ to a strong believer, a warrior for Christ and for the faith. And he was given great gifts as well, as he wrote 13 books of the Bible, a great orator, a tremendous motivator, inspirer, educator of the flock. Very important, my friends, that you and I continuously grow in faith. And as we prepare for the second Sunday of Easter coming up, my friends, once again, we take with us the wounds of Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge it. We respect it. We have great reverence for our Lord and our Father in heaven. And it moves us forward into a closer and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And let no one get between you and the Lord, my friends. No one. No one in your family, in your friendships. No one. Let nothing, nothing get in between you and your faith. Because God calls us to this relationship, which is special. And he has a plan for my life and for your life. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 to 19. I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on the island called Patmos, because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's day, and we heard him behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see." Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. Write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And in the second reading from the book of Revelations, my friends, by St. John, he gives us a word that is so important. And he says, "I, John, your brother, who shares with you the distress of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the endurance we have in Jesus. Because we know, as we just celebrated once again, the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, part of the Father's eternal plan for salvation, such a powerful moment that world time is based on that event. And John shares with us also the kingdom of God. And we reflect every time we say the Our Father prayer, we reflect on the kingdom of God. The prayer that Jesus taught everyone. The Our Father prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And in that special prayer that the Lord taught us, that he gave us to honor our Father in heaven, it says, "Thy kingdom come." And we are called to build up the kingdom of God. Like the apostles, we too have responsibilities, my friends, as sons and daughters of God, to do the work that we are called to do, each in our own way, using the gifts, graces, and blessings that God has given us through our Blessed Mother Mary, through the Holy Spirit. He has given us a command to build up the kingdom of God. And here John talks about the kingdom. And then he goes on to identify the endurance we have in Jesus, which is so important, because in the Word, it talks about the Lord, and he says, "I am the first, the last, the one who lives." In other places, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And so, endurance is something very, very important. And a good analogy of that is in aviation, every aircraft is designed to a certain endurance, a certain range, can fly so many miles with range, but endurance is how many hours can you fly? The Global Express corporate jet can fly 13 and a half hours. And there are aircraft that can go on without stopping beyond that. But here, John talks about the endurance we have with Christ, who is forever. And we have to acknowledge the word of John today, which really highlights the endurance we have in Jesus, the kingdom of God, and the distress that we acknowledge once again each and every year in the passion and death of Jesus Christ. The word goes on to say this: when I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, "Do not be afraid." Again, I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the never world. This is important, my friends, because once again, we want to be growing in faith. We want to make sure that God is number one in our lives and not number two or not last on the list. God calls us to, you know, live a good life and also to acknowledge him in all things. So we don't want to give him less than the reverence and deep respect that he is due. And as busy people in daily life, sometimes we put him on the back burner. We make him second or third or fourth or last. I encourage you today, my friends, to lift him up by giving him greater time every day, quality time, better actions by you and I, showing people that we have great respect for Jesus, for the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bend and every person will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is important, my friends, because you and I only have one life to live. And we want to do it right. We want to raise the standard and give God more glory, more time, more love. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And here it is. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks and my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, Jesus says three times to the apostles, "Peace be with you." He wants every one of us to have peace. Because if you don't have peace in daily life, you're missing out. You might have fear. You might have depression, anxiety, jealousy. You might have a whole different life because you're living without peace. No peace, no trust in people. We must have peace. But he says it three times. Are you and I bringing peace to other people, my friends? Or do we bring something else? Think about it. And the Lord said this. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And so we are called, we are sent by Christ. We have a mission right here at Holy Spirit Radio to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, to touch the hearts and minds of other people. Every chance that we get, it's a calling, it's our mission. And the word goes on to say this, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." This is the beginning, my friends, of the Holy Priesthood, and it's powerful. And we see something very important in here, that God wants us to believe so much. And he says this to Thomas. But before that, we see Thomas is reluctant. He says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And that is the great challenge we have as human beings, my friends. We want proof. But faith, blind faith, is what God calls us to. Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and although the doors were locked, stood in their midst once again and says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." And that's you and I, my friends. We are believers. But God will do something, some sign, some wonder He will give us something to increase our faith. He calls us to believe wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. He calls us to rise to the occasion, my friends, to put the work in. Like a flower that gets watered every day, we need to put the work in, to pray, and to do everything we can, my friends, to show the Lord that we believe. This is the second Sunday of Easter, my friends, and I challenge you to raise the standards in belief and give God 100%. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day and God bless you.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.